Produced by GauntletCreative.com.
Thank you for downloading this week's episode of Neckbreaker. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. I've been in Ireland for the past few weeks enjoying some sights with the family, and life's been really hectic. With that said, though, booking this week's show was definitely a challenge. At the last minute, I was able to scoop up an interview with Zach Carter from the death metal band Outer Heaven, and our pro wrestling panel is bare bones, just me and Kasaris talking wrestling headlines, and Kasaris reviews the latest game in the history of pro wrestling video games. So definitely stick around for that and enjoy the interview. Our guest on this week's episode of Neckbreaker is Zach Carter from the Pennsylvania death metal band Outer Heaven. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Outer Heaven, you guys recently dropped a four-way vinyl split with Gate Creeper, Homewrecker, Scorched, I think, was on that as well. It's available at escapistrecords.bigcartel.com. Can you talk about, do you think splits are a dying art in 2017?
I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of cool splits coming out. I know there was the one that Outer Heaven did. That was before I joined the band on bass. So I'm not on that one, but I know
that one.
Dude, every song on there is killer, but that one's really cool. The Four Doors to Death split that came out, that had Cemetery Filth and Sabatory and Ectovoid and Trench Rot, which is another Philly band with Steve from Crypt Sermon. That's really cool. I thought last year was the year of the four-way split, because those two came out and just kind of, really made some waves from what I could see. But I don't know. My old band Castle Freak, we were talking about doing some splits. We were trying to find some bands to do splits with. We actually have one coming out, a posthumous split coming out with a band called Sekusu from Detroit. So I think splits, I wouldn't really go so far as to call them a dying art form, but I definitely think they're cool, but I think a lot of bands are just not doing them as much as they used to.
Yeah, from what I've heard, a lot of times you'll get, say you do a four-way split, two of the bands are busting ass, they're ready to get that shit out the door, you always have two other bands who are slacking off.
Yeah, I've heard about that too.
You're waiting for their shit, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get to it, blah blah blah. And then it takes a year to put out a four-way split.
Yeah, Castle Freak, my old band, we had we had our songs recorded. It was a re-recording of an original and a cover, just because we didn't have any extra new material to record, and we just wanted to record. And so we had another band they were trying to put it out with, and they were just dragging their feet, and they kept saying, oh, all we have to do is vocals. And it just took so long that we were like, hey, we got this other band that's going into the studio in 2 weeks. I think we're going to give the other half of the split to them. And they were cool with it. They're like, yeah, we have no idea when it's going to be done, actually. So that I'm definitely no stranger to that.
So, you mentioned Castle Freak. That was the project you were in before Outer Heaven. Did you mention that's no go, or is that kind of just on hold for now?
We broke up after our last show at St. Vitus in Brooklyn on December 30th. And then there's been talks. There was talks of getting it back together with some new members, because, one member had quit. And now we're talking about, the four of us getting back together. But it's not going to be an immediate thing, but I definitely think it will happen.
Bands breaking up are like wrestlers retiring, they always got one more match in them.
Exactly. And I think we made jokes about at the show at St. Vitus being the Castle Freak curtain call and all that shit. But I definitely think it, not immediately, but I'm saying maybe next year. We got a lot of stuff going on with Outer Heaven right now, and I'm, going back to school and all that stuff, so right now it's super busy, but I think Castle Freak will definitely come back eventually.
Castle Freak ends December 30th. At some point, how did Outer Heaven come together?
Well, they had actually contacted me the first time Castle Freak broke up. to play second guitar. And then that was like right before we had recruited Sebastian from Noisem on drums and our good friend Ben, who is now in Noisem, on bass and vocals, to join Castle Freak for the other two members that had left. So I told them, I was like, hey, like, listen, like, I'd love to, but I got a lot of stuff going on with Castle Freak reforming at the moment. And they're like, it's all good, no worries. Then Castle Freak breaks up December 30th this year, and they're like, hey, we need someone to fill in on bass for a show opening for Nails this March. Do you want to do it? And I said, well, fuck yeah, dude. Like, love to open up for Nails. Oh, yeah. Toxic Holocaust was on it. Gate Creeper, Full of Hell 2 was on that show. And then it just turned out that their full-time bassist just, you know, life was getting in the way. He had to step away from it. So they were like, hey, do you want to play bass full-time? And I was like, hell yeah. So here I am. I'm playing bass for Outer Heaven now. Playing some cool shows. We're almost done writing the LP that should hopefully be out beginning of next year. We're trying to find the perfect person to record it at the moment once we're done writing it, which we're about, like, I'd say 80% done writing it, maybe more.
Oh, that's cool. So you're kind of just looking for the right studio at this point.
Mm-hmm. We did record one track with Kevin Bernstein at Developing Nations. He's done Noisem and Ilsa, and he did the new Integrity that just came out.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So we did one track with him. We might go with him, or there's some other people we're thinking of. But we definitely want to get the perfect person to do it, because we want it to sound exactly how we think it should.
Absolutely, dude. So, you know, in building a story in this interview here, so, like, I gotta go back a ways. Like, can you remember the first metal album you ever heard?
The second Fozzy album.
No shit. No shit.
So I was in, like, the fourth grade. Happenstance? Happenstance by Fozzy.
That's the one.
My dad had it on CD. My dad's a metalhead. My dad was almost in metal church, which is, like, a long story.
Do tell.
My dad hitchhiked to Los Angeles, is the story, in, like, the 80s. I don't remember the exact timeline, but my dad hitchhiked to LA at some point in his formative years, and my dad sang in a bunch of bands in New Jersey, which is where he's from. But apparently he auditioned for vocals for Metal Church and got two callbacks, but did not get the position because he showed up 2 hours late both times.
That's fucking metal.
I think that's pretty cool. He also told me a story of when he was hitchhiking and he got in, like, a tractor trailer with some guy, and the guy was just pounding Miller High Lifes behind the wheel, and then he just takes the syringe and just injects Miller High Life straight into his neck, so my dad just rolled out on the side of the road, which I think that was a good call on his part.
Your dad had a hell of a road trip there.
Yeah, my dad's a pretty cool guy. But yeah, so I was probably in, like, the fourth grade. My dad had Fozzy Happenstance on CD, and I remember, like, it had Free Will Burnin' cover on it, Love Machine, Big City Nights, To Kill a Stranger, Mob Rules cover, but then the last track is fucking Where Eagles Dare by Iron Maiden, and I was like, holy shit. So the next weekend, I saw my dad. First thing we did was go to Tower Records in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and he bought me Peace of Mind by Iron Maiden on CD, and I listened to that thing every single day for, like, the entirety of the fourth grade.
Dude.
And then, like, a year later was my first concert, and that was Iron Maiden 2003 Gimme Ed Till I'm Dead tour in Camden, New Jersey, with Dio and Motorhead opening.
Holy shit. So, like, you know, a lot of people are... We interview a lot of older bands, a lot of older people, so when they hear that Fozzy got you into the door, it's gonna, like, blow their minds, because that's fucking cool, though. Whatever gets people in, who cares how they get there?
It was Iron Maiden by way of Fozzy,
true,
I would say.
True, that's honest.
But there are... But the originals on Happenstance, I still stand by. Like, To Kill a Stranger is great. Crucify Yourself is great. I still listen to that album sometimes.
So you're listening to Maiden, you're getting into all the heavy metal bullshit. At what point did you start playing in metal bands?
I'd been trying to start a band for like since I started playing guitar in like the fifth grade, but you know, no one in you know middle school and the early high school, no one takes that shit seriously, so I couldn't find anyone to do it. And then I started a couple bands in like middle high school, like end of high school. But we never played any shows because no one was organized, and we had a lot of flaky members and stuff like that. But I played my first show, was actually a Castle Freak show, and I have the flyer. It was it was on my 21st birthday, March 28th, 2014, at a place called Lava Space in West Philly.
So you're still young in the game here, man. You got Castle Freak, you're joining Outer Heaven now. The road's open for you, man.
Yeah, I like to think I got a long time in doing this ahead of me, so.
So in the short amount of time that you've been playing in bands, I know you've been playing guitar for a long time and bass and all that shit, but,
yeah.
And I gotta ask, because a lot of people we interview are in different areas of the world, so I gotta ask from the Pennsylvania side, I'm not sure what part of Pennsylvania you're from or you're in right now, but can you speak to the promoters and the pay-to-play practices. Is that going on in Pennsylvania? Do you see bands having to sell a shitload of tickets just to get on the gate?
There are definitely pay-to-play venues. I have never partaken in pay-to-play. My first band, I don't remember which band that was. It was like, I think it was Bestial Slaughter. Right? We just tried to sound like Demolition Hammer.
It's all good.
We almost got roped into a pay-to-play thing to open up for Obituary in this place called Champs in Trenton, New Jersey. But then our drummer quit, and like 2 weeks before the show, we couldn't find a replacement. And then as it turns out, like that promoter was like, you know, doing the whole pay-to-play thing. And looking back on it, I'm like, I mean, it would be cool to say I opened up for Obituary, but like, not under those circumstances, you know what I'm saying?
Never worth it. It really isn't. They say it's good for opportunity, good to build your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but Philly's got cool promoters. My buddy Keith used to book a lot of shows. He booked Morbid Saint and Whiplash at this place called The Barbary in Philly, and that was a fucking insane show. He booked Morbid Saint again. He did Midnight and Shitfucker at this place in West Philly. He's kind of slowed down doing that. He hasn't done that in a while. But there's a lot of promoters bringing really cool bands into Philly, like smaller venues. But I got to say, like, we play Baltimore, like, quite a bit. And my boy Hassan out of Baltimore is the man for booking cool shows. He's gotten us a lot of really cool shows. Like, opened up for Gorguts. June 22nd, we opened up for Gorguts, and Hassan hooked that up. So
where was that? Sidebar was it? Or I'm trying to think of.
That was at Metro Gallery in Baltimore. And we Castle Freak played there with Horrendous before. So this is a very cool place.
So you know, you've been playing a lot of shows, busting ass, and
mm-hmm.
One of our favorite questions is best and worst shows. Any of the projects you've been in, think of one of your favorite shows and one of the fucking worst shows you've ever done.
Definitely the worst show I ever did. Okay, so I lied. My first show, was with Cast Freak, but I like to try and block out the two Awakened Remains shows I played. We tried to sound like death metal, it just sounded like metalcore.
It's all good.
But I was like a junior in high school. But we played our other guitar player's school battle of the bands, and it was like they call it the main line of the Philadelphia suburbs. And it was just, it's just like the yuppiest, like white collar, like just the worst congregation of people. And like there was just like there was one band adjusted Blink-182 covers. I remember that, and there was one, and it was really bad.
Jesus, but one of those lineups.
We only played because we just did it as a favor to our other guitar player. But that was probably the cringiest show I've ever played. And then best show I've ever played. Probably that nail show. Honestly, that was my second show with Outer Heaven. I did one before that as a warm-up show in Washington, D.C. But that nail show was insane. That was just like the rowdiest crowd.
Hell yeah, and sick lineup.
It was awesome. And seeing all my friends, you know, full of hell, they're my boys. So it was really cool seeing them and playing with them again. But that show was just, like, that was the biggest venue I played. Like, I saw Repulsion at Union Transfer, and that's like one of my favorite bands of all time. So being able to say I played the same stage that Repulsion did, albeit like 2 years apart, it's still pretty cool.
Hey, that's something. It's better than that pay-to-play bullshit, so that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, before we switch gears to some pro wrestling talk, what's coming up next for Outer Heaven besides, I know you're working on a full-length, any shows or anything you want to push?
We're doing Thanatology at Voltage Lounge in Philly with our boys in Coffin Dust, my personal favorite Philly band. And we have a couple shows coming up. We're doing Vastum and Pink Mass at St. Vitus in September. And then the next day is Dead in the Manger and Scorched in Philly. We're talking with some promoters. We're doing like a part of like a week tour. I think we're just doing like a weekend with a pretty cool band that hasn't been announced yet in November. And then we're doing a week around a festival appearance next March that has not been announced yet, with another band they're my boys and for a long time. So I'm very excited to see them again, hang out with them, because it's been a while.
You guys are going to get busy. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it.
Let's switch gears, man. I know you're a pro wrestling fan. At least I assume you are if we're in touch right now. So, like, our show's half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. So I got to ask you the same question that I did for metal. What's the earliest memory you have of professional wrestling?
Oh, being at my dad's on the weekend. I only saw my dad on the weekends as a kid, but being there and staying up until the wee hours of the morning and watching ECW.
I fucking knew it. I knew it.
on TV with my dad, I was like 5 years old, and I loved it. And then we'd go to the Franklin Mills. I was there Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night, we'd stay up and watch ECW, and then we'd watch it on the VHSs. And then Sunday, on his way to drop me back off at my mom's house, we'd go to the Franklin Mills Mall. And right outside of Burlington Coat Factory, there was a kiosk, and he had nothing but wrestling figures. One whole corner of it was just ECW. So, and he'd buy me an ECW figure. And like, so I had like New Jack, I had Rob Van Dam, I had Sabu, I had Tommy Dreamer.
I remember when those figures came out, man.
They're great. I wish I still had them. I have no idea what happened to them.
So like, so ECW, we're talking, that's maybe 98? 97 mm-hmm. area, something like that.
Yeah, 98, 99, ECW. That was my introduction to wrestling. And then, like, I never really, like, after that, like, I always was, like, I always thought ECW was cool, but, like, I got into so many other things that wrestling kind of fell off until I started working at my current job in 2011. And my boss is a huge mark. And
fucking mark.
He is a big fucking mark. Shout out to Tony, because he told me he was going to listen to this.
Tony, you're a fucking mark, dude.
But, yeah, so Tony and then my boy Paul started working with us, and he was a mark, too. And so they would just start talking, and I had no idea what they were talking about. So I basically started watching wrestling, so I had something to talk about with them, and then I got instantly sucked back in. But the first thing I remember watching was... And people are going to, like, shit all over me because I enjoyed it. But it was the Royal Rumble 2015 Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
I didn't
Philly.
Like that part.
That was in Philly. Right?
My boss had tickets to that. But I remember I was like, I'll watch it. So I turned it on because my boss was there. And, like, everyone was posting about it on Facebook. So I found a stream of it. And the Triple Threat was amazing. I loved it.
See, Rollins,
Rollins, Lesnar,
Oh fuck! I forget the other one.
It wasn't. Shit! Who was that?
Was it Punk?
No, definitely was
Daniel
Punk.
Bryan. No shit.
No, No, because Daniel Bryan got eliminated from a Rumble in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that. I should know this.
Come on. This is going to fuck me up.
That's all right. I'm looking it up now. I need to know.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, so who started that Rumble? It was R-Truth and...
So it was Cena, Lesnar, Rollins. That was the triple
threat. Cena, Lesnar, Rollins. That was a triple threat. But I remember, so I was like, that was awesome. So I'm watching the Rumble, and R-Truth and The Miz started it. And I was like, okay, R-Truth and The Miz. And then Bubba Ray Dudley comes out, and I squealed like a little baby. And in that moment, I was like, all right, I'm a wrestling fan again. Like, that's it. Seeing Bubba Ray Dudley.
Well, let me go back here. So, like, if you're watching ECW in, like, 97, 98, I assume you watched that for a couple of years with your dad, but then you dropped off at some point in the 2000s?
They're super early memories. So, I remember doing it, but I don't remember, you know, I was, like, 5.
Yeah, you were young.
So, yeah. But I do remember watching ECW. I remember, you know, having the figures. I remember playing with that shit all the time.
The fact that your dad watched ECW with you is pretty fucking cool at that age. If you're 5 years old, and there's so much violence, sex, so much shit going on, that's so cool.
I had a cool dad.
Yeah, hell yeah. So then if you dropped off for a while after ECW, mm-hmm. you kind of came back in 2015, Rumble's mm-hmm. back in Philly. Have you been following the product since 15? Have you been on and off?
I have been following. I try to watch Raw and SmackDown when I can. I do work early mornings, getting up like 4 in the morning sometimes, so if I do, I just watch the YouTube highlights the day after.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, sometimes that's the better option regardless.
So then if you're following the current product, then did you catch this Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan angle that went on this past week here?
I did. And, I wasn't watching. I got a text from one of my employees, a very nice young man named Colton. Biggest Mark I've ever met in my life.
Fucking Mark.
Love him to death, but he's a goddamn Mark. He just texted me. He said, Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's illegitimate son. I said, what? He goes, I'm not kidding. And I'm like, fuck. I mean, like, it's cool that they're giving Jason Jordan a push, and apparently they're giving Chad Gable a push, too. Which, I love American Alpha. I thought they were one of my favorite tag teams to come out of NXT. Next to Revival, probably. But, just... why couldn't they just push him as a tag team? They work so well together. And I appreciate that they're getting singles pushes, but why couldn't they just push him as a tag team?
WWE loves to break up tag teams. That's what they do best. And
I know it.
And so, I don't know, they're going to run with Jason Jordan for a while. I assume they're going to try to milk that angle out for a long time. Maybe they'll call him Jason Angle. I'm sure they're going to give him a new name, probably, like they always do. You know? So then, I see Chad Gable, to be honest. I think Chad has more potential than Jason Jordan, but it could be me.
I do agree. I think Chad's a little bit marketable, I guess is the word. But... they're both incredible talents, but these kind of wacky angles, man. I feel like it's been a while since WWE's had like a wacky kind of, you know, biological angle, if you will.
Yeah, it's like a water cooler angle, just something that for people to talk about, you know.
Exactly. I feel like it's been a minute, so I guess we were overdue. And you know what? It could have been a lot worse. It could have been Dixie Carter. So I'm gonna.
I don't even know what they would have done with that. I really don't know how they could have brought her into the equation.
TNA invasion angle. Oh, sorry, Global Force Wrestling now?
Yeah, they're Global Force now. They're not
Global Force invasion angle.
Do you find yourself watching other wrestling products, talking about Global Force, New Japan, anything else like that?
I watched the New Japan stuff that everyone talks about. You know, Omega, Okada, amazing. I loved it.
Oh, who didn't? That match was insane.
It was fucking awesome. I will watch Ring of Honor when it's on. Funny thing also about my dad is that he does not follow WWE, but I was at his house a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, Ring of Honor's on, so I put it on. He's like, what the fuck is Ring of Honor? And he'll just, like, we were watching it, and now apparently, like, he watches it every time it's on, and he'll just message me with no context. Like, I got a text from him yesterday at 8:42 p.m. He said, really? The Tempura Boys? And I'm just like, dude, I don't know, man. It's Ring of Honor.
Your dad's a fucking mark.
My dad's turning into a big fucking mark.
That's cool, man. Like, so did you ever go to the ECW Arena?
I went to the ECW Arena one time. It was 2 years ago, House of Hardcore. Rob Van Dam's first match in the ECW Arena since ECW closed.
Oh, that's cool.
Versus Rhino. And Rhino was playing the heel. And he came right out and said after the match, because everyone was like chanting 420. And, you know, like, it's Chance Chell and Rhino to smoke weed. And he's like, before the match, he's like, I'm a politician. I don't smoke weed. I don't do any of that shit. And then, like, everyone starts booing him. And after the match, he's like, I fucking love playing the heel, man. He's like, I hate to expose the business, but I fucking love playing the heel. It's so much fun, and you guys are great. I thought that was fun. But it was Rob Van Dam versus Rhino. And then Sandman came out. And he was, like, pouring beer in the little kids' mouths. That was fun.
That's I remember so Sandman.
It was so Sandman. And, dude, Sandman's not looking good.
When did he ever look good?
It's true. But I just thought they were playing Sandman's music, and I was like, who's this crackhead? Like, it just doesn't even look like Sandman.
Oh, he's thinner now. Oh, shit.
He's way thin. He's like, I was like, dude, how the mighty have fallen. But,
dude, either way, I'm going to do one more question. We want to get you back on the show down the road. We'll talk some more wrestling with you. This is just the Outer Heaven portion and kind of just get you introduced on the show here. Cool. If you could build a Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling, what four people would be on it?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh boy. New Jack, Scott Steiner, Sabu, and fuck it, Cactus Jack, because I've been Cactus Jack for Halloween the last like 2 years.
Hell yeah, so, good meets. I've been a couple times. It's a great costume.
I was trying to do Mankind this year, but I haven't been able to find or make myself a mask. So I was just like, fuck it, I'll just do Cactus Jack again.
Cactus is easy. Pair of sweatpants and a black t-shirt with the Cactus logo. You're good to go.
Exactly. I wore it to work. Because my boss, like I said, is huge mark, so he didn't care. On Halloween, we're allowed to wear costumes sometimes.
Your boss is a fucking mark.
He is a fucking mark.
Well, but that's an interesting four, you know, Mount Rushmore. I don't think I will ever hear those four people on a Mount Rushmore. Everyone always says Flair, Hogan, you know, Savage, and somebody else or whatever, but those are the easy ones to pick.
Yeah, those are just my favorite, you know, they're just so out there, man. Like,
fucking Scott Steiner.
New Jack and Scott Steiner. I'd love to hear just like the promos. New Jack and Scott Steiner would cut on each other.
Forget it. It'd draw money all day.
Exactly. Book it, Vince.
Fuck yes. Zach, so outerheavenpa.bandcamp.com if you want to grab your, at least there's a single over there, right? At least a demo for now to check out, and then there'll be more shit on there.
There's a demo, an EP, and the single. So.
And then Outer Heaven on Facebook, Twitter, all that bullshit, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Outer Heaven. It's all the same bullshit.
Anything else you'd like to promote?
Zubas. I'm really Zubas are real hot with me right now.
They're comfortable.
They're very comfortable. Saw a picture of Scott Norton wearing Zubas with two Japanese girls, and I was like, I'm gonna buy a pair of Zubas.
He probably
and
banged so I did. Both of them immediately.
He probably did immediately, but I bought two pairs of Zubas, and they're real comfortable. Shout out to Sandman, also Zubas guy. Zubas, very comfortable, long or short, in hot or cold weather.
Zubas should be the official pant for Outer Heaven.
I'm trying to get a Zubas endorsement and a Zima endorsement as well.
One or the other, if not both.
If not both.
Zach, it's been a pleasure, man.
Always. Thank you.
Cheers.
Have a great day.
The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Continue.
There's all this talk that women are breaking through in electronic music. It's ludicrous. We've been here the whole time. Yet last year, only 17% of music festival headliners were women. We need to reclaim electronic music and put women back in the story. Help us double the number of women headliners in electronic music. Get involved at Smirnoff.com. Smirnoff. Equalizing music.
Welcome to Neckbreaker, the original pro wrestling and heavy metal themed podcast. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. In the studio this week, got ourselves the top talent this evening, very, very special guest co-host, Mr. Chris Casares.
Right. It's pretty hilarious how that worked out. This is some Plan B stuff right now.
Really appreciate you coming out this evening.
I got promoted from senior wrestling correspondent.
I was going to have to interview the La Parka mask for the episode, so I'm glad things worked out here today.
You could just have had Randy and Laney.
I could never get those guests.
Yeah.
They're way too high quality for me.
Hard to get.
Yeah, they got their own show and all.
I'm gonna
shoot straight with the audience here for a moment to set the table of sorts. I just got back from a trip to Ireland, gone for about 2 weeks, and long story short, time kind of flew by me here. Luckily, I was able to get a last-minute interview guest, Zach Carter, from a little death metal band out of Pennsylvania called Outer Heaven. He stepped in real quick. He knows pro wrestling, knew heavy metal. We had a solid conversation. I hope you enjoyed that earlier. And as for our guest co-host, I'm sitting right with him here, Mr. Chris Casares.
Yeah.
Sir Chris Casares just couldn't show up tonight, but no. Mr. showed up.
He locked himself out of his house and called you from his mom's cell phone to let you know Sir Chris Casares was not going to show up.
Yeah, you know. John, we love you, bud.
He's a bitch, yeah. He's a real, real bitch. Uh-huh.
Randy.
Tell him, Laney.
He's a bitch, Randy.
You're going to do 90 minutes of Randy and Laney talking about how John couldn't make
just
the episode.
Just call people bitches.
John Aubrey was going to come back for one, just for a quick random night here for the evening, and he's looking forward to it, but he lost his keys. He left them inside his house. He's been locked out for a couple hours, and he left me a voicemail letting us know. And I would play it, but it's way too much work at this point. But
yeah, you get a cocktail in your hand.
You got to be there. So either way, right to the point, all those excuses aside, we're getting right to the point. Casares and I are going to do headlines, and Casares is going to wrap up with the history of pro wrestling video games for this week.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to do something like that. And
ooh,
I think Chris just gave me that look like, I forgot about it.
No, I'll do the entire review as one of the characters.
Deal. Okay.
One of the two characters.
Let me get some bullshit housekeeping. SummerSlam spoof tank top. It's selling. You guys are buying it. Definitely get that shit. Neckbreaker.net/shop. It's got a cool summer themed white tank top. You know, it's classy. Keep it. You got to show those guns off in the summer. So grab that shirt. Helps us break even on the show here. That's neckbreaker.net/shop. Ooh, a cheap plug for you, Casares. Get the brand new Nitro Party album, Slow, Deep, and Hardcore Holly, over at soundcloud.com/.
Yeah, for the time being.
Nitro-Party. And I'm going to let Casares talk about that more later in the episode for our final closing plugs. But we'll talk about SoundCloud. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
That's a little teaser, but yeah, get the new album while it's there. And be sure to follow our wrestling and metal themed updates at NB Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Chris, what I did, I just grabbed a bunch of headlines. Old school. Two of us.
I might be able to contribute one too. And it's not a wrestling headline. I'll probably contribute those.
But non ones are even better than wrestling headlines. Who cares?
But I got a metal headline too.
Ooh. Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan. Monday, it was announced. Spoiler alert, too bad it's already a week old, but what do you think about this? You think this is a good idea, or are we gonna shit all over it?
Wrong one.
What
but no. I was saying the wrong
member. Oh, it was the wrong Alpha. Oh, but the wrong member.
Yes.
It should have been Chad Gable.
Yes. But it's pretty hilarious, like, because you know it's Vince ribbing everybody. Like, that's what it feels like. It's like a huge, just like, he's back there laughing. And we're not in on the joke, but I guess one of the ribs is that, like, Kurt Angle used to have a black girlfriend, so it's kind of like a rib on him, like, you know, like, you know, that way. Like, he's got some jungle fever going on.
Boy, I forgot about that. He actually did for a while. And yeah.
That's got to be a rib. Like, you know, people will know you dated a girl a long time ago or whatever. Yeah. Oh, no shit. That's actually, that's pretty funny. But Jason Jordan was, he's kind of young. You know, he's been American Alpha for a couple of years now. And I got to give WWE credit. I mean, just for trying to push something, someone new, something different maybe. Is it going to work? We're going to find out. Angle-wise, do you think they're going to really, really want to stretch this thing out until next year?
Like, they should totally do, like, a My Black Son angle. Where
Family
like,
Guy, right?
Yes, but, like, have it be, like, their thing where Kurt Angle goes, that's my black son! Like, he, like, acknowledges, like, he keeps on calling him his black son.
Kind of like how Booker T looked at Vince when he dropped the N-bomb.
Yeah.
Kind of like, is this guy for real? Is this guy serious? Something like that. You can milk that out for a while. You know, it's, you know, they're trying something different. The whole crowd dumped on that whole angle, though. I mean, right. Yes. The moment he said 20 years ago, right then and there, we're like, oh, okay, all right. People were teasing Dixie Carter. They were teasing Stephanie. Stephanie would have made sense.
I heard Buff Bagwell was also rumored.
He was way up in the yes. top of the list there.
You know, he's going to be his gigolo, Kurt's gigolo.
Perfect. Sold.
Very progressive angle.
Very. But Stephanie can't poke fun of herself anymore, I don't think. Right? Because she's the, you know, the marketing girl, the brand girl, the for women's empowerment.
She's going to look strong. You
she
know?
Has to look strong all the time. and being in a position like that, having a secret hidden kid and all that, that doesn't keep her in that from a corporate perspective.
Yeah.
But story angle, you know, storyline wise, that would have been cool. You could have tied in Hunter with that somehow. There's your match for SummerSlam. And it's a nice little something to get Angle back in the mix. Because I'm sure he's dying. I'm sure he can't wait to wrestle again at this level.
I mean, I thought it was going to happen at SummerSlam. Now they're saying no. So I'm just like, all right, well, they're holding off on it forever. It's not going to matter as much.
You watched that 24 documentary, did you? Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I mean, they really pushed that neck deal. How, you know, how many surgeries they spent a lot of time on the surgeries and the drugs and the surgeries and the drugs.
Yeah.
It's almost like WWE saying, nope, we're not going to let you work. But on the other hand, if they want to make some money, a couple more appearances wouldn't hurt them.
They have Kurt Angle wrestle Daniel Bryan in a half-paced, like, exhibition. That would be so bad.
Forget.
Like, they both have to wear headgear.
Get Tyson Kidd in there, too. Where anybody who can't go, still wants to go but can't go.
Yeah.
Just put them in there. Four-way. We'll do a four-way.
Put them in there with, like, protective headgear, though, so you can't tell the difference on who's who. So
right.
You can't really get invested in it. And it's like you have a pace rule. Like, if you actually throw a hard hit, then you get deducted a point or something.
Yeah, back them off.
Yeah. Be a real crowd pleaser. You know, I'm trying to think forward here.
You always do.
Yeah.
Global Force Wrestling news item. We got, again, it's probably rumors and bullshit, and it's probably him stirring it just to get interest going, is apparently Global Force is interested in signing Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
And that's, is that A, based on his contract ending with Lucha in the fall, which I think it does, and then B, Del Rio kind of being out of the equation at Impact as well. Kind of a 2-for-1. We got to get that.
I think he's going to be still. They're not going to take the title off of him. They're just waiting for this whole ass ache to blow over.
Suspended him indefinitely.
Yeah.
AKA, let's buy a little time, brother.
Like, his crazy girlfriend situation is quite tiresome.
Boy, I mean, it's TMZ. It's real life TMZ with those two. Just always something going on. Whether it's battery, assault, sex tapes getting leaked, Del Rio being drunk on Tout, whatever the hell program he uses.
Yeah,
Twitter.
I don't know if Tout's still a thing.
He's probably on Tout still.
He's on the Twitter box.
The Twitter box, yeah, but he's always getting drunk at bars at 2 in the morning and, you know, doing live videos, shitting on Hunter for an hour.
Yeah.
But those two.
Call him a pussy.
Yeah, those two just, they're a mess. But they're a mess together. Probably even a bigger mess together.
It's a perfect storm of just bullshit. But yeah, I think Mysterio will probably go there.
Well, I think with that situation with El Patron. I feel like Rafe thinks he has more pull now, like right now. I think he's thinking, all right, let me try to get some interest drawn up now while they're down their Hispanic champion. That bumps up a few grand on my contract maybe, and see what happens. But, I mean, how much time does Ray have left in those knees? He's got to be. Got to be. Him and Kevin Nash. Isn't it funny that those two kind of on the same knee schedule? At the end of the day, that it is, all just balanced out.
That is interesting.
Either way, of course Ray should get his final run and all that stuff, but he's been way too many surgeries. I think he's just got to have a few more matches and call it a day.
Yeah.
But
he'd probably get another, 2 years tops left in him.
Something like that.
Before his work will start to look like he's fucking wrestling Roman Reigns at Mania.
Good God. Good God. Yeah, that's over. Hopefully. I hope that's done. Talking goddamn smack getting canceled.
Yeah. Someone fucking was mad at Renee Young this week.
Renee Young got some heat. What else got canceled or something else happened to her, right?
Yeah, something else. I don't know.
There was another thing that happened to her this week, and was it Total Divas? Wasn't she off Total Divas now or something?
Her Unfiltered show.
Unfiltered got canceled. That's what it was. Yeah, because I think maybe she might even be off Total Divas in the future. I don't know. Either way, Renee's got some heat. The hell's going on?
It kind of coincides with the lukewarm Dean Ambrose stuff that's been going on for 6 months too. I don't know if there's one arm's tugging the other there.
Ambrose not getting more over or angle.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just them giving his wife a hard time or whatever. I don't know if there's more. I'm just stirring the pot, brother. Brother, brother. That's why they called me the Hulk brother, stirrer.
Brother. Oh, shit. You're gonna hold Mankind. Oh, no.
That's a direct Hogan quote.
I threw the Mankind at you, and I feel like I knocked everything over on the table there.
I don't know if his mask was on him or not.
It was, but we'll find it. We'll find it. Yeah. Well, either way, even if it was a Hogan quote, I liked it. I appreciated it. So you can hold the Mankind. And frankly, there's not a lot of competition going on here.
So you want me to quote Hulk, you want me to quote Hulk Hogan more is what you're saying.
The bar's really low for popping me. I mean, it's usually always very low, but again, there's nobody else here, so you're going to pop me very quickly.
Well, I'm just saying, so you want me to continue to quote Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, that's all good. Yeah, because it's usually truth. Okay. So, yeah, that's usually good. We want to hear the truth on this show.
Ooh, brother.
Talking smack, it gets the can. They feel like, I don't know if it's a money issue or, what I read was that they can't script it.
Yeah, which is fucking, ain't that some fucking shit?
They're mad that that's the one thing that they can't control, and it changes the view of what the story they're trying to tell. So Baron Corbin or even Miz can get more over on something when that's not what they were writing for.
Yeah, and then they have to fucking flip their shit because all of a sudden Miz is super popular again.
My God.
Because he got to run his mouth for a minute.
My God, yeah, he got himself over again on one promo. I mean, he was already sort of coming back up on the, since he was on SmackDown, he was already back on the up again towards main event.
Yeah.
But then that promo just put him way over the top. But so, my God, it's so, just let them talk. Give them a chance. And they're giving random people chances with mic time on there.
Yeah.
You'll get 8 minutes with, some undercard guy, and you're like, they would never give that to anybody before. Like, Ellsworth, they gave him obviously he's been on the TV so much.
What do they call him? The Big Hoss?
Big, yeah, something like that, right? But he gets a lot of time to develop his character, and Alexa Bliss and all these other mid card people who would never get the chance before.
I'm interested to see what they do with James Ellsworth when he comes back.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I care more about that than probably talking smack right now.
Either way, it's too bad that they're going to get rid of it, but, we have 205 Live still, so, ah, great.
That's another rib.
Yeah, brother. This is more of a question, because I know I didn't. Did you catch G1 special?
Yes.
Was it two nights?
Yeah.
Because I think I was either in Ireland or Ireland packing mode, so I missed all of it. So how was that?
It was awesome. Some of the undercard matches were meh, but...
it happens. Not all going to be winners.
I thought the Young Bucks match was good. The
Who did the Bucks work?
Fucking Roppongi Vice their last match.
Like that was their last match as a tag team?
Yes. Well, in New Japan.
Oh, was that a losing team breaks up match? Or no, that was just...
it was just part of their plan. They like Beretta's going to be, or Trent.
Trent wants to go solo?
Yeah, well, Trent is solo now in the heavyweight division. So I don't know if he's going to go after the NEVER title and fight
Minoru Suzuki. All of Romero's friends are leaving. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Always. So it was two nights, right? One of them was the Okada rematch, right? Was Kenny? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Was that Cody Rhodes?
Cody and Okada.
And Okada. Thank you.
That was good. It wasn't like insane, but it was good. And a fun watch.
Yeah, it helped Cody develop more, I'm sure.
I think the matches of the weekend were Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
And Omega versus Ishii.
Omega Ishii. I think that was the match I was thinking of. There wasn't a rematch, but...
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Omega versus Elgin was also good.
Oh, because there was two nights, right?
Yeah, so...
Jesus.
I don't think either of them had a bad match.
They made those guys work two nights. Man, that's...
And then that last match was real good, though. It was Omega just fucking going crazy.
You know, the people are saying a lot of the guys are getting injured more and more, and they're because of this obviously the style they work, but then they're giving them more dates, it seems. And I feel like they've always had a shitload of dates. They're always on those tours, like 15-day tours.
Yeah.
Just fucking working every night, maybe get a night off or travel. But, you know, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, they got to give the guys less dates. It's like, yeah, that's just how they've always worked with a shitload of dates.
I thought it was like three on, three off or something with them.
Yeah, it's something like that. But either way, they're working a very stiff style, and that's how they've always worked for a long time now. They've been working that schedule and that style.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't change the system just because a bunch of guys are getting hurt. Just they'll evolve.
Yeah.
You know? You know what I'm saying?
Don't try this at home.
Yes, exactly. It's wrestling. Bunch of pussies, God.
But I think overall it was a good show from everybody, really.
Now then, that leads up to the climax, which I try to get a better understanding of it every year, but it's pretty much a huge tournament, right?
Yes.
There's multiple brackets.
They're two blocks, basically. And they're both, like, done in, like, tournament. Well, not really tournament, but, like, block style.
Double elimination or single?
I think it's double. I'm not... No, it's points. So,
oh, it's a point system. Yeah. That's okay. How they do it.
So you win, you get two. You lose, you don't get anything.
You get anything.
You tie, you get one.
You get one point. So and, at the end of the tournament, they count up the points.
Yeah. So basically, like, everyone's going to wrestle. Like, the block's not going to end until there's at least... Everyone's had probably, like, four or five matches. And that's as quick as it'll end. But they usually just have the full block go.
But even then, still a pretty rough schedule, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah.
Working a lot of dates, a lot of different styles, matches. I think
it's 19 events.
Damn.
Is what it is.
Different venues?
Yeah.
Imagine if that was at one venue. Just for like 20 days in a row, they did a residency somewhere, and you could just stay in Japan for a month.
They do it in Cape Cod under tents.
In the Melody tent?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't get that memo. So then that's cool. So G1 Climax is going to be going in for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, through the end of the summer.
We got plenty of time to catch up on that.
Yeah.
They're
pushing, or at least Omega's pushing for him versus Ibushi in the finals.
Oh yeah, so they'd have to figure that out.
Imagine if they meet in the finals and Kenny Omega and Ibushi wind up putting on like this insane match that like rivals his feud with Okada.
Jesus Christ.
So imagine if like people are trying to choose match of the year and they're like Okada Omega or Omega Ibushi. Like he's just going to be he's all over the place this year. It's crazy.
He has 2 5-star matches, right? At least already? 5.5-star?
Yeah, he had a draw with Okada like a couple months
ago. At Dominion.
Yeah. That was very well received as
just
well.
As good, but the first match was that was in the same year too, right? It was January and then
yeah
June And then the next one, who knows, when, probably be next January again.
But, like, I think everyone, like, loved how Okada was going to end it with the Rainmaker, and Omega's knees just buckled and he fell to the ground.
Straight up gave out.
It was such a great spot because they wrestled for an hour.
Not really a news item, but more of a reoccurring item, or, you know, memory of sorts. I missed it from the last episode, but I was the 10-year anniversary of Benoit.
Yes.
2000, it's June...
27th.
20, yeah, so maybe we would have missed it. So June 27th.
Yeah.
23rd, 27th, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. The
2007.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
10 years.
What's changed in 10 years?
Yeah.
Where were you when you found out?
One of my guitar students had canceled on me, so I was sitting in the room practicing.
Was he Chris Benoit?
No, it wasn't Chris Benoit.
You weren't teaching guitar to Benoit?
No, I was getting texts from someone else informing me of what was going down.
I got that.
Yeah, Cicchini was texting me going, Benoit and family are dead.
Too easy. So, like, you actually were teaching guitar. And
yes.
The kid just didn't show up, and then what happened?
So I just sat there just being like, what is this? What is this nonsense I'm hearing? So I checked my schedule, and I think I had one more student left, so I taught one more lesson and then beelined it home, and I was like, is this for fucking real?
I need to get on the internet right now.
Yeah. I was like, because this was back when I didn't have internet on my phone.
No, nobody really. That's the 07? Maybe they did, but it was really slow.
I didn't.
No.
I had a flip phone.
07, yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
Get on the .com and see what the hell. Well, obviously the .com is not going to tell you anything. The wrestling news sites.
Yeah, so I got home and I was like, holy shit, yeah.
I remember, I think I was at home. 2007, 10 years ago, I was probably either just getting out of work or going to work soon. And then jumping on a wrestling news site as usual, checking the feed. Because I remember Benoit being absent from the pay-per-view, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
They were trying to figure out what's going on, but maybe a couple articles here and there. But the day of, I think it was Lords of Pain, whatever the hell wrestling site I was on at the time, that homepage, there's no way you did not see a Benoit keyword on every single goddamn headline on that front page.
It was enormous. Like, it was... Like, huge.
Like, they were trying... New shit was getting discovered every minute. You know, new articles. Like, what the fuck's going on? Boy, that was an insane wrestling news day.
Yeah. Pre-2007, or pre-that, Benoit was my favorite wrestler. Like, I loved Benoit.
And it wasn't, like, social media...
You know, era. In a platonic way.
Oh, yeah. In a straight, cool guy way. Yeah, yeah. I get it. Yeah, yeah. This is 07. Facebook was around, and there were other social media sites, but it's not at the point where we are now, where people are constantly posting to social media every second of the, you know, of every day.
Yes.
Doing all right there?
Yes. No, good.
So then, lost it again?
No, I did not lose it again.
I lost it. I don't know what I was looking for, but I lost it.
Everyone who's listening right now is so confused.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You can proceed.
It's all visual, no audio. Deal with it. Life goes on.
Yeah.
All right, so social
media. I'm dicking around, everyone. All right.
Surprise. So social media wasn't the way it was, so like you couldn't just do hashtag Chris Benoit and see a bunch of people's photos and updates and like their thoughts. You pretty much just had news. You had news coverage.
Imagine if the Benoit thing did happen like this day and age, though. You have people like tagging themselves like at the house with like selfies and stuff.
Being like, at Benoit's house, peace sign.
Outside the gate, dogs are fed.
Oh. Yeah, right. TMZ would be there and everything.
Blessed.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been a decade and, you know, tell us where you were. Tell us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. Where were you during the Benoit murders and what the hell went on? You know, start some social conversation of sorts. It's been a long time.
I bet someone was losing their virginity.
Someone's getting ripped. Yeah, definitely.
Someone lost their virginity when they found out that Benoit did that.
We got a busy wrestling news week here, and Austin Aries. Goodbye. I mean, he must have been. I mean, talk about potential. He was getting over, too. He got himself even more over on commentary. it made us kind of maybe give a little bit more of a shit about 205 Live. Him and Neville.
Him and Neville was a very good feud, but.
But then he must have been. He either pissed somebody off real good, or he was sick of that 205 Live bullshit and asked to be called up, asked to be moved, and they said, no, we need you there.
Yeah.
He said, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm wasting my body.
Yeah.
I can go to Japan or Ring of Honor or anywhere else right now, make close to the same payday probably, and be treated like a goddamn wrestler, not just 205 Live sort of pushed aside.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was bizarre when it happened because, I don't know, I just thought he was...
He's getting over.
He was a pretty big deal, and not like super, like, they don't need him, obviously, because they just cut him loose, but, like...
They gave him a lot of time on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, for commentary and appearances, and they invested in him a little bit.
They let him do commentary. I think that's a huge deal.
They don't pick those people lightly. I know that. You know, firsthand experience. You know, I've been picked multiple times for commentary over there. But, so Aries then changed his, got released. I'm sure he's got a 90-day right now, so that'll be September, October time where he can probably work elsewhere. For TV, at least. I'm sure he can work indies, but you think he changed his look. You know, trimmed the beard.
He looks like he's trying to be pure.
Yeah, right. Pitbull the rapper. Sounds like my grandfather who said, is that Pitbull the rapper?
The Pitbull rapper.
Yeah, that Pitbull. Are you playing that Nintendo when you're playing your Xbox 360?
Yeah.
How's that Nintendo going for you?
Yeah.
How's Nintendo? Fucking. Another guest host.
Fucking grandpa. It's fucking Xbox.
They never get it. They never do. You tell them 30 times.
Told you.
Xbox.
Yeah. And that's our angsty teen skit.
Yeah, right. Hope you enjoyed it. Good night.
Yeah.
Evan Duplessis, a good past co-host, good alumni, wanted us to speak about the Young Bucks revival feud. Social media feud of sorts.
It's enjoyable.
Very enjoyable. And you know they're friends. I'm sure they're...
Fuck the revival.
Fuck the revival, though, you know, of course. Forever the revival, you mean. Did you see that video?
No.
Oh. Actually, it was pretty cool. It was on .com or on YouTube, and it was right before the Revival's match, and it was Charlie, or whoever the hell the interviewer was, going up to the Revival. They obviously, you know, refused to speak, but Dawson was carrying a backpack, and the other one was carrying a passport, and the backstage segment on .com.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then he was throwing the passport into the bag or something like that as a nice little jab for that.
No, I saw that.
You did see that clip. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that was cool.
That's what I mean, because, like, Nick Jackson's bag got stolen with his passport, so they show up with, you know.
With the bag and the passport.
Yeah.
I saw the photo on social media, because, you know, they posted it to their, you know, Twitter account or whatever, but I never thought that they would actually pull it onto TV, even if it's for .com or whatever.
Yeah.
They continued the gag online.
Yes.
That's cool. So the feud, though, they just give each other shit. Give each other two sweets here and there. Fuck the revival. Fuck the revival. Fuck the revival. I don't even know how it started. I couldn't tell you. Why did this thing start?
I don't know.
The Bucks are the Bucks.
Yeah.
Just going to do that shit. What else I got here? I got Ronda Rousey at the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
Saying hi or teasing an angle?
They, you know, they want her in the worst way.
Oh, boy, do they ever. I'm like, sure they wanted her more about a year and a half ago.
Yes, of course. Her stock was so much higher back then.
Doesn't that sucks. One match.
Like two matches now.
But she lost both times?
Yeah, she lost.
It was that first loss. When she was undefeated.
She lost to Holly Holm. And then...
That's the one that really brought the stock down right away.
Well, no, because she was going to train for a comeback, but then she got her ass kicked again. And that was the one that really lowered her stock, because they're like, now she's like, she's done.
I forgot about that second one. I figured Holm almost did her in, which sucks. You know, just that's all it takes. Killing it. One loss. Who are you?
Yeah.
Who cares? That sucks. So I'm sure WWE is still interested, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, name value.
They want her in the worst way because it would be good for them.
They can get it probably a little bit cheaper now than the rates that they were being asked before. That's funny how that changes too. Two losses and your rate goes to a whole different ballgame. You go from all of Hollywood kind of sort of being interested in maybe getting you in an action scene here and there to you calling them to get in an action scene.
Yeah.
The phone call kind of changes there.
You haven't really seen her do too many things in the past year or so.
And I wonder if that applies to male fighters. If there was a really dominant UFC fighter in the same position as Ronda, do you think he'd be just as screwed if he lost? The Hollywood offers, I don't think it's a sex thing. I think any fighter going from undefeated to not undefeated, the offers would change.
So you're telling me that you don't think Evander Holyfield would get top dollar right now to make a cameo appearance in the upcoming Buddy Classic with... Ooh.
Oh, well, if you say it like that, he probably would get top dollar, but goddamn it.
No, he'd be lucky to be on a fucking mockumentary on HBO.
On YouTube.
They got Chris Webber. You know, it's not that far of a stretch.
They got Chris Webber. You're in my territory for players.
Fab Five. It's the wrong Fab
Five. Either way, Bucks and Revival, that's too sweet. Love you, Evan. We'll get you back on soon, bud. I mean, you're fired. Get out. Stay home. You're not coming back on ever again.
Yeah, you're done, kid.
You're over, bud.
You'll never work in this town.
Carry a bag, spell.
Yeah. Tuck your chin when you take my finish.
Doesn't get old.
No, it's very silly.
So, well, the Ronda Rousey thing we talked about, her at the Mae Young Classic, it was the four horsemen of UFC or MMA were there, and then the four horsemen from WWE.
Yes.
I think it was Bayley, Charlotte, and maybe not Sasha, the other one.
Becky,
thank you. Because, I mean, that could have been an angle they could pull off at SummerSlam if you want to get something like that going. I think that's kind of a tease, but...
They should do like a dodgeball type of situation.
Go on.
No, it's from the Diva Search.
Oh,
I
think they meant the movie. I'm like...
No, they did the dodgeball thing, and the Diva Search girls won. Mm. And, like, people were mad that, like, the divas, like, the wrestlers who were wrestling were buried, basically. But it was right. Dodgeball. Who gives a fuck? You know?
Fucking dodgeball. Let's see. We already covered Alberto Del Rio and Paige. And the other headline I have, and maybe we can add a few more here after the fact. It's kind of not wrestling, but boy, they sure as hell are ripping off every goddamn step in the book on the wrestling side. McGregor and Mayweather.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that, sure.
On this press tour.
Give them some fucking free publicity.
I mean, yeah, because, you know, we got to sell a few more, put more butts in seats in that arena because nobody's interested.
This might be the first that someone is hearing of it. So,
you know, McGregor, and
if that's the case,
we may be able to get them to do a stop on the press tour here on the podcast tonight. That, you know, let me just text them, see what's going on.
That'd be quite the episode of South Park.
Could you imagine if they actually just showed up? Yeah, we'll do it. Deal. And they just come in with their entourage and everything, and they have a fucking little promo ski. I'm not putting that AC on.
I feel like they're both way too mean for me to want to be around them, to be honest with you.
They'll be on each side of the couch with you. You'd be right in the middle.
Yeah.
Fall right down the center.
I would probably just leave.
They are, Mayweather obviously knows wrestling. He's obviously playing the heel. McGregor's kind of, well, all right, just turn it to wrestling for a moment. Who's playing baby? Who's playing heel? What do you think?
This is fucking Kali versus fucking Jinder Mahal. This is Goldberg Lesnar.
Shades of Grey style here.
Like, no, this is just they both suck. And, like, it's basically like watching two people you don't like fight.
But,
like, I think McGregor is like an asshole. But, like, I also think that.
It's a confident asshole.
Mayweather is an asshole. So
they're both heels. I mean, like, you want McGregor to win because
no, I don't.
I'm not saying you. People want McGregor to win because he's quote unquote the underdog because it's a boxing match, right? So he's coming into his field. So people are sort of leaning towards McGregor. Take out the old undefeated Mayweather, and we want that guy to not be undefeated anymore. But from a wrestling, just from a wrestling standpoint, they're cutting promos at these press conferences for very long, very fucking long promos.
I've not watched any of them. I've heard small bits of it, and I'm just like,
you've caught a couple one-liners.
Yeah,
they're very long promos, pretty much. But McGregor's coming in as the underdog, which you put him as a babyface, but he's cutting these brutal heel promos. He is just ripping a new asshole on Mayweather, verbally, just beating the guy down, beating him like, you're the babyface now, but now maybe not so much. He's more of the cocky heel. He's the NWO type, the 98 NWO when he's cutting promos. But either way, what I'm getting at...
He reminds me of 2003 John Cena, but Irish, instead of...
Really cocky.
White rapper.
Sort of him. Yeah. White rapper confidence. Kind of. You know where I'm going with that?
I don't know. I think he's a bit too much for me.
Okay. But you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So they're working everybody.
Yes.
Completely working everybody.
Yes.
But everyone is buying into it.
Yeah.
They're all goddamn wrestling fans until August 27th or whatever the hell the day is for the match.
They broke kayfabe. They flew in the same airplane together.
Same airplane, probably. They're cutting promos. One's like, just chew me out. Just cut the interview. And they're in it together. Both are going to make a sweet payday. And they're both in the wrestling business right now.
So. Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's like a... It's... Life imitating art imitating life.
Life imitating art. Yes.
It's just like a weird like cycle that we're in. This is Trump's America, everybody.
Thank
this
you.
This is what you've done.
Most of our audience is out of the U.S. what am I missing the headline wise, man? Did I miss anything that happened the past couple of weeks? Excuse me.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm trying to rattle the old noggin here.
Get the noggin going there?
Yeah. Trying to think if I'm missing anything. Mark Henry retired.
That's a big one. Yeah, we didn't cover that.
Old salmon suit.
Man, he worked the shit out of us that night.
That was wonderful. Yeah.
Perfect. That was the promo of his life. I feel like he probably wanted to retire after that point. He's like, I just killed it. I'm done.
Yeah.
He should have actually retired.
No, he had a run with a shaved head.
Oh, you're right. That was the end of his dreads.
Yeah.
His braids or whatever, right?
I always thought that was the best. He has like Hogan hair, but it's...
It was going really far back there.
Yes. He had basically just the ring.
That was a man who's, a little empty up top. You know, Hogan knows what's up. And then Booker T. Same thing. I think his are getting a little bit higher and higher as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
So, right at the end there. I know. I could judge that. What else am I... Mark Henry leaving. That was a goddamn long contract he got. Was it a 20-year contract?
Yeah.
He's 97 been there to 2017.
Oh, 96, I think, when he came in.
To 2016, so he must have signed another contract.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
21 years of just sexual... Chocolate.
And he's going to be an agent, so he'll be working for a while.
I think that he should do the power. Like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for his matches.
Oh, just, man.
It's nothing but power slams.
Sweet.
And running into each other in the turnbuckles.
That's cool.
Oh, yes, that's going to be great.
Sold. Henry, we're coming up. Our next episode will end up being our SummerSlam episode, so that'll be cool. A little preview coming up in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Have our panel together. See if people actually exist. And we'll make it to the studio that evening.
You mean I'm not good enough for you anymore?
Well, I mean, my co-host, my wrestling correspondent's not here, so playing second fiddle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's the case. I'm going to move on here. And again, if you like our drunk pro wrestling insights, help us cover some show expenses. Grab that SummerSlam tank top, neckbreaker.net/shop. Wrestling video games. We're towards the end here of our show this evening. We're going to wrap it up and talk about Neckbreaker's, the latest edition of Neckbreaker's history of wrestling video games. You know the drill, Kasaris, a few months back, we decided to make a list of pretty much every wrestling video game, and Kasaris is going through and playing them.
Yeah.
In order, by date, and telling us what ruled and sucked, what's good and bad, and Chris, what's next on the list?
Oh, it's our first WWF game, officially.
Which one would that be?
Micro League Wrestling.
I forgot because I messaged you a week ago and let you know what the game was.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, was it gross? Ew. You wrote something on the message. Like,
yes.
Oh, God, no.
Because I know what that is.
Micro League Wrestling. Why don't you tell our audience about this game?
It's a text game, and you have two characters. You can be Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage.
Those are the only two characters in the game.
Yeah, so you just press start, and you're Hogan, so... You're punching Macho, you're elbowing Macho. Basically, you just select what move you want to see, and then a little cutscene plays depending on who won the exchange. And it's like, best I can tell, it's random.
This was for Commodore? What was this for?
Commodore, Atari.
Atari, DOS, maybe?
DOS, probably, yeah.
Like DOS game?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So then, this was after the game that you just reviewed, which was...
Pro Wrestling.
For Nintendo.
Yeah, Black Box.
So we go from that game, which is fun. Great game.
I enjoy it.
To this text game, which almost seems like a huge step back. Well, but it's Commodore.
Text games were still a thing back then, you know. It was how like young college developers would start off. They'd make like a game where you're getting out of bed and you go north, go south, go east, go west.
And I was a fan of the text games, and I had DOS. I mean, I played so many of those, but like, just think of like from a wrestling standpoint, do we want a text game? Is that where people are like?
It's basically like it's almost like your coach, the coach section in a Tecmo Bowl for NES.
Oh, like, man. Couldn't you like
where you don't even control the players, where you just control what plays are called?
Yeah,
like that's basically what this game is.
Coach mode, like Madden had that too, didn't it? For what was it, Madden or other NFL games for the PlayStation and all that stuff had like a coach mode where you just watch a game.
Yeah.
Who the fuck ever did that?
I'm sure people tried it once and never went back.
And just immediately regretted their decision.
And then they're like fucking Brady DeMoss.
Who would actually watch a video game, football game? And no, let's just say TV, what the hell, TV's on. I'm just here to kick my feet up.
Yeah.
Watch a video game. Fucking weird. Either way, I know that was a tangent. So, Micro League,
it was still better than Micro League, because it's just like you select elbow, and then you see a flash of Hogan's face, like a still of it. And then you see like a two-frame animation of an elbow. Or, you know, if you're, you know, after 6 minutes or so, you can hit your finish and win the match or lose the match, depending on how poorly you did.
Would they cut to the commentators once in a while? To Vince McMahon or something?
Oh, yeah.
Jesse?
Yeah, Vince and Jesse at the bottom of the screen calling, you know, the move, just being like, oh, he hit the move.
Yeah.
I think Vince calls Hulk Hogan's moves and Jesse calls Macho Man's
moves.
That
makes sense.
I think that's how it worked, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, this game sucks. Why do you exist? Why are you
it's on the goddamn list?
And you're officially licensed. So you are the ugh.
Jesse Ventura got royalties for this game.
Oh, I'm sure he sued Vince over it.
Ventura sued Vince for royalties on this game.
You owe me $452, Vince. My guns are in my gun safe. I'll go use them.
You have a good Jesse.
John's is better.
John does a good Jesse. Ruled. What is it? Oh my God. What is okay about this game? Nothing.
It's,
originality?
It's... I don't know. Like, the cutscenes are like... You know, actual matches, but they're very pixelated.
But at the time, that makes sense.
It's like highly pixelated images of actual matches being like two framed to show like an animation. Like elbow will be like basically Hogan's arms extended one direction, and then Hogan's arms extended the other direction.
Right, right.
And then back and forth it goes.
I mean, of all the games you've played on this list, whenever I've asked for the rule, like, give me something that you like, you usually have a sample. You usually have something relatively quickly. Oh, you know, the graphic was were okay or something.
I don't even...
Okay. You didn't even... It took you that long to even think of anything for this text game. This game's brutal.
The intro music, I guess, is kind of good because it's... I think it's the same one from the NES WrestleMania.
Maybe the music, if we're going to give it anything. Music was maybe okay.
Yeah.
Good but, God.
But over... And I understand this is still, you know, the 80s, so, you know.
You can give them credit for graphics and sound quality and, you know, lack of technology.
WWF is probably like, we need a video game, and we're going to pay someone $10 to make it. And I'm sure like a group of kids were like, we'll make your game, sir. Yeah. Like, it's basically like kids who like volunteer to mow someone's lawn for $10.
Pretty much. I was on Reddit the other day, and I don't know what you mentioned, old technology, whatever, and it was an image of Super Mario Brothers. Color image, high res. And it said the original Mario Brothers was 40 kilobytes.
Yes, I've seen
it. And this image is 500 kilobytes.
Yeah.
And it was a screenshot of the Mario game, so I just thought that was... We were talking about old technology. That was...
I saw that. Blew my
mind from them. I'm like, you're right. That fucking... Just one screenshot image is way higher quality. 8 times more space than the whole goddamn game of Mario.
Yeah, and so I'm sure this game was half as much as that.
If Mario is 40K, forget it. This text game was probably 6K. 5 kilobytes, maybe.
Yes.
So low. Either way, what sucked, obviously, is everything else. Everything else with this game was awful.
You pick a move, and it might give it to you, it might not. You might win, you might lose.
Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe fuck yourself.
Who's to say? Maybe if you go after a stronger move and the person goes after a weaker move, they might hook you once or twice, you know?
They might hook you.
You know? But that's what you got to look out for. That's why you train every day.
Take your vitamins.
You come in prepared.
Say your prayers.
Yeah.
Something, something. We've had a good run here.
So this game sucks.
Oh, yeah.
A 1 out of 5.
Out of 5. 1. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's got to be the lowest.
I think so.
So far, on that's the worst game. But luckily, I think it goes up from here. It can only go up from here.
Yeah. I think we're inclined for some good times ahead.
I mean, wait till we get to 90s. 90s status will be a little bit better. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
You fucking...
I'm making a fuck out of you right now?
Are you ribbing me right now?
I'm making a rib, brother.
Are you fucking biggie ribbing me?
You betcha. Wrap this up here. We get some plugs. Talk about not only... Thank you, bud. Let's talk about... Not only can you talk about Nitro Party, talk about SoundCloud as well.
Oh, yeah. This is big news. So SoundCloud's in the red.
Little struggle here.
Yeah.
The article said they had about 3 more months, or maybe until the next quarter.
They cut loose a bunch of people, and now...
Half their staff, I think, or 20% of their staff. I can't remember the number. So all the articles were like, save your shit. Back up all your shit.
Yep.
All your data, all your stats. You never know.
Yes.
Did you do that? Oh, maybe you don't need to.
I think so, but I mean...
Well, you have the songs.
I have the songs.
That's all
still
matters.
So, I just probably have to find a new hub. SoundCloud was good because it was just very convenient to use.
Free?
Yeah, free, so I don't have to pay anything. And Bandcamp, I'm sure, is the same way, but...
Bandcamp is the same way.
I'm sure I could just migrate there and probably just, you know, finally do YouTube, really.
Oh, for the streaming the songs or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or make music videos. That'd be sweet.
I'm not spending that much time on that shit.
Okay, I'm glad you said time, because you don't need to spend any money on that shit, but time is very more valuable. Nitro Party, soundcloud.com/nitro-party. You and John dropped this album, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, July 3rd, I think I uploaded it.
Got her done on 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
Drop it like it's... You did that last year, too, didn't you?
Memorial Day.
It was a holiday weekend.
Yeah. And then right before Halloween was the second one. And now July 4th.
You're tired of recording, aren't you?
I'm getting there.
You're a little gassed out?
I'm kind of running on empty right now.
Good God, that's foot 14, 40, but, I don't know how many tracks, at least 40-ish for three albums?
12, 15, and 15, so 42.
42 tracks.
Yes.
That's a lot of guitar.
13 months.
That is a lot of left and right guitar to record.
Yes.
And maybe even a
I'm efficient at it, though, so I get it done pretty quickly, but it's still, like, I'm at the point now where I'm just like, oh, I'm so glad it's over.
You don't want to hit record anymore.
Just, yeah.
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any more work. But at least you didn't give yourself a deadline. You kind of just said, okay, it's done. And then you dropped it.
Yes.
Sweet. So it's at soundcloud.com/nitro-party, and definitely check that out. Are you trying to play a show of sorts?
No,
no, no intentions.
We might do a show,
okay,
but like it would have to coincide with an album release.
Number four, get to work, pal.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I'm sure I'll get back to it in like a month. I'll just be like, oh, I want to make a fucking stupid ass version of this,
and here we are. Yeah, sweet. Let's wrap it up. Drive by Bukkake. Drive-By Bukkake got added to Parasitic Ejaculation Party Cannon Torturous Inception Tour. That's on, I should say tour date, not the actual tour package.
I was like, whoa, really?
Shit, I didn't get that memo. We probably could just jump on. But
on.
Fright. Drive-By. Drive-By only makes money.
Yeah.
We, Friday, August 4th, Bungalow Bar and Grill, Manchester, New Hampshire. We're playing playing that show, and we're going to be playing like a little 7 o'clock, maybe 7:30, a little early. And we enjoy that as older, dapper gentlemen. I would take the 7:30 time slot over the 11:30 any goddamn day of the week now. It's nice. Play your set, have a couple cocktails, home at a reasonable hour, living the dream. So again, Friday, August 4th, Ejaculation, Party Cannon, Torturous Inception, bunch of other friends. Come hang out and check out Decoff's Fright Night. It's on our dbbthrash.bandcamp.com. It's a brand new track that we did for a YouTube horror show, also titled Decoff's Fright Night. Check that shit out. Neckbreakers produced by Gauntlet Creative. Start your own show today. Gauntletcreative.com. Follow our Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/neckbreaker. Buy your t-shirts, neckbreaker.net/shop, you know the deal, and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at NB Podcast. Saris, anything else? Did I skip anything?
No.
No.
I've been progressively getting softer as the night went on. My throat, I ran out of drink, so my throat is pretty much done now.
What we will wrap up the show with as an insider joke, because you guys weren't downstairs an hour ago, and there's a certain impersonation that you were doing in the kitchen of a certain movie series, and why don't you tell our audience...
Oh, my God.
To...
on the spot.
If you're broke, tell your friends about the show. But why don't you just say, word of mouth is free. Free is good.
Oh, my God.
On the spot,
Steve. So, on the spot, and if this sucks, then I look like a piece of shit.
Or I could just edit it out.
Word of mouth is free, and free is king.
Nailed it. You're good. You're good.
All right.
Well done. Cheers. And beers for Mr. Alan Rickman. Cheers.
Lainey, you're a bitch. Shut up, Randy. I'm the older brother now.
There's all this talk that women are breaking through in electronic music. It's ludicrous. We've been here the whole time. Yet last year, only 17% of music festival headliners were women. We need to reclaim electronic music and put women back in the story. Help us double the number of women headliners in electronic music. Get involved at Smirnoff.com. Smirnoff, equalizing music.